You're listening to the Restoration Church Podcast. For more information, visit www.restorationlex.com. Thanks for listening.
We're going to jump in here. So we're in this series called People of Presence about the Holy Spirit. And last week we began a little series within a series about the gifts of the Spirit. And we talked about those because when you read the New Testament, you see this church that's filled with the Spirit, growing deeper in God, growing deeper in one another. And spiritual gifts, these are manifestations of God's Spirit that help us love and serve one another. We talked about how the Holy Spirit is not only our connection to God vertically, but it's our connection also to one another through these gifts. So I want to recap real quick where we're at. 1 Corinthians 12:7, we talked about this last week. Now to each of one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And so from this verse, we pulled out three important truths that we need to know about the Holy Spirit. First thing is this: the Spirit and His gifts are for everybody, not just the pastors, not just the staff, not just the super Christians. The Spirit is for everyone. You, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you have gifts that the church needs. Second thing is this, is that the Spirit is sovereign over His gifts, meaning that when He gives these gifts, He gives them when He wants them, how He wants them. We're not wielding the Spirit like the force. That doesn't exist. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not some kind of disembodied force that we shoot around like our X-Men powers. That's not actually in the Bible. So the third thing is this, so that the Spirit gives gifts in order to build and equip the church to love one another. In other words, these gifts are not given for our benefit, not just for us, not so we could be super spiritual. They are given because God's heart is love, and He wants us to love one another. They help us love people like Jesus. So today, we're going to begin to unpack what these gifts actually are. I said last week we're going to take 2 weeks. Looking at it this week, I thought, man, there's no way that we can do this in 2 weeks. We have to do this. We're adding another week, so we're going to take the next 3 weeks and talk over these gifts. In your seat or around your seat, you will see a list of all the gifts that we'll be hitting on these next 3 weeks. Here's what I'd love you to do in this next 3 weeks. Take this. It's also on the website. There's more outside on the cart out there, too. Take this. Pray over these gifts, read the scriptures, and then talk about friends. Talk about community, in community, where you see these gifts taking place. There's spiritual gifts assessments online. Those are fine, but the healthiest way to understand and discover your gifts is to do it in community, is to see that called out in one another and pulling that out from one another because they are for love and not just ourselves. So here's what I want to do as we unpack this. I want to give us some guardrails, some things that help us find boundaries and not get outside of what God's actually made these gifts to be. So the first one is this, is that the list of gifts we see in Scripture is not necessarily comprehensive. That means the ones that we're going over, there's disagreement. Some say there's more, some say there's less. And who's to say that the Spirit can't give gifts in unique ways that are not listed in the Scriptures? So just so you see these, that this is what we see, but there might be more, there could be more, there's more ways because He's the Spirit and we're not. He gives us gifts as He gives us gifts. So it's not necessarily comprehensive. Second thing, spiritual gifts, this is huge, are not proof of spiritual maturity. Amen? Just because you are operating in spiritual gifts doesn't mean that you are all of a sudden spiritually mature. Listen, I've known a lot of people that can preach and lead worship that are complete jerks. You know? I'm one of them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. But that's one of those things. Like, just because you are able to operate in gifts of the Spirit, that doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. You know what spiritual maturity is? It's spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. That's spiritual maturity. We want both. We want gifts and we want fruit. We want maturity. But just because you can operate in these gifts does not mean that you're spiritually mature. And then the final thing here, another guardrail, one more guardrail. Spiritual gifts are given by love from God. They're given for love for one another and are completely useless without love. If they are not operating from a place of love, they are empty religion. Is that clear? Otherwise, it's just a waste of time. We receive the love of God in order to love one another in supernatural ways. And so if we're not receiving that love, if we're not giving that love, if it's not based in love, then why even bother? Because they're empty. So as we move into the individual gifts, I want us to continue to think about this. We need to see these gifts through the lens of love. It's if we're saying to one another, here are ways that I can learn to love you. Here are ways that I can love the people that God has put in my life. So as you hear these, don't just hear these individualistically. Hear them communally. Hear them collectively. Here are gifts God has given me to love my neighbors as myself, as Jesus commanded us to do. So there's this guy named John Tyson. He's a pastor in New York. He's a guy that's a big influence on me. He's broken up these gifts into three ways. I love how he did this. Into motivational gifts, and how we see the heart of God, into ministry gifts, how we are equipping, and then manifestation gifts. So those are where we're going to be ahead in the next few weeks. But today we're going to talk about motivation gifts, which is going to be in Romans chapter 12. So that's where we're going to be looking on the screen or in your Bible. Let's go ahead and jump in here. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So, we see six different gifts. We're going to break down these six different gifts today, these manifestations of the Spirit given to help us love one another. And as we go over these the next few weeks, you might see one, and something might kind of just grab your spirit and say, oh, yeah, like I feel that. And hold on to that. The Spirit is going to be speaking through this. As you read through these scriptures, He's going to be grabbing hold of you to help you learn what the gift He wants to do through you is. So be listening to the Spirit, not just to me, as we're talking through these. So the first gift that's mentioned there is prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is discerning and speaking God's will for those in the community. Now, what I am not talking about is Miss Cleo, the fortune teller here. Do we know who Miss Cleo is? Is that too old of a reference for this room? We're not talking about people who are fortune-telling people's lives. That is not what prophecy is. What prophecy is the Spirit empowering us with a strong sense of what God's movement and God's activity is and His purpose for individuals and in community. It's people who are deeply in tune with the Spirit and have a gift of giving an idea to not only individuals, but to the community of where is God leading us? Where is God pushing us forward? Laura Marie that was just up here, she's one of our elders, and she's one that I think has that gift. There's been many times where she sent me text and said, I really sense God's saying this or doing this, and it's almost always like, whoa, yes. It's not some sort of hyper-spiritual show. It's just hearing from the Lord for His people, listening to what He is saying. Now, should it be tested and discerned in community? Yes. Should it be weighed against Scripture? We talk about this a lot. God is not going to speak in a way that is in contradiction to His Word. So if somebody says, thus saith the Lord, you need to go out and punch that dude in the face in Jesus' name, that is not from God. And so on. If you punch him in the face, I can't take responsibility for that in Jesus' name. So what it is, though, is it's hearing the voice of the Lord. So if God's saying something, I sense God's leading us in this place in the community. You know what we do? We hear that. And together in community, it happens really good in city groups because there's smaller groups. We discern together, like, is this something God's saying to us? Is this where God is leading us? And in together in community and in concert with the Holy Spirit, we sense the leading of the Lord together as we hear from Him. Does that make sense? Otherwise, it can get iffy. If we're listening to voices and just thinking, hey, that's saying this or that's saying that, if we're doing it individualistically and apart from community, things can get off. So the second one, second gift here, serving. Serving is meeting practical, tangible needs for the community. And there are so many of you in a church plant like this where we have to set all this up and we have to tear all of this down. You all walk in this room Sunday at 11, or sometimes 11:10, 11:15, let's be honest. You walk in here and this room's ready because a bunch of people are empowered by the Spirit and are called to come in here very early, set these chairs up, practice, set the kids' ministry up, people like Jay and Tom, Justin Jeffries, Brian and Melanie, people who are getting here and serving in powerful ways. And that may seem very practical, but I promise you guys, that is the Holy Spirit empowering people. Now, does that mean, oh my goodness, these people have the gifts of service, so my gift is to come in and sit on the chair? No, it does not mean that. We're all called to serve. We're all called to serve like Jesus, but there are some of us that, like people like my dad too, there's just people who just come alive behind the scenes. And you see little things that need to get done, and you get that done. That is the Holy Spirit inside of people. It may seem normal. It may seem practical. I promise you, it's not. It's just as supernatural as a gift of prophecy. Amen? So let's keep going. The gift of teaching. Teaching is making God's word clear and applicable to the community. These are people who are passionate about the scriptures and seeing people live out the message of Jesus every day in their lives. This is what I'm doing right now. There's also people, the people who lead men's and women's Bible studies throughout the year, the people who are leading city groups on a weekly basis are using this teaching gift. Becca Jeffries is another one who's an actual teacher, is using that in her profession, and maybe many of other of you guys are doing this too. Like, that is an important gift because we can't just take the word of God lightly. We need to see what God is saying, not only in the scriptures in context, but in the context of our community. And that's what teaching is doing. So that is a gift from the Holy Spirit. So then we have next, we have encouragement. Encouragement, friends, that is speaking life and courage into the lives of the community. And what I'm talking about is more than, good job, buddy. That's nice. And that's a compliment, or that's a cool shirt, man. That's nice. That's a compliment. But there are certain people, and you know this, when they say something to you, it's like their words give you a hug. You know what I'm talking about? You're ready to run through a brick wall. They come up and they encourage you with some words, and it's like, yes, like you get me. And that's something that is spirit empowered, not just a compliment, not just something that's nice, but that you are speaking courage into someone's life. That's what encouragement literally means. It means to give courage, to offer courage to another person. There are so many people in this church, and especially in the 2.5 years of this church plant, that I'll tell you right now, your all's encouragement has kept me going, has kept me moving forward. Your encouragement has been powerful. I even reached out to some people. I said, who's encouraged you in this church? People had talked about, like, Chandra. They talked about you. They said you were encouraged and said you had that gift. People that were, like Kelly, people that are speaking life into one another. And again, it's not like this is just a gift that a few people do. We all should be operating in the Spirit and leading into encouragement with one another. And in cynical, very sarcastic times, it's super countercultural to be an encouraging person. It's easier just to be sarcastic. It's easier to make fun. It's easier to hold things at a distance. But to actually step into someone's life and speak courage into it, that is the Holy Spirit. We need that, don't we? Whoo, we need that. We need that every day. Up next, the Spirit is giving the gift of giving. And giving is using personal abundance to meet material needs in the community. So I'm probably thinking right now, yeah, giving is that gift. I don't have that gift, do I? I'm glad somebody has that gift again. These are supernatural aspects, not that some people are called to and some are not. These are just gifts that people are given by the Spirit. And what this is, giving, the spirit of giving is the spirit of generosity. And that should mark every believer, rich or poor. And that means in a church like this, where we have people who are incredibly generous with their money, there's also people who are incredibly generous with their time, with their talents. And that's what I'm talking about with this gift. Not just your money, but your time, your talents. And what it is, I would describe the gift of giving as spirit-powered strategic generosity. Spirit-empowered strategic generosity. And it's connected to our abundance, to the needs in our community, noticing these needs. Now, I need to tell y'all something real quick. Abundance and wealth are not the same thing. All of us probably in this room have some level of abundance, and I'll prove that. Right over here, we have this table. This table is something that we have. We have cards that say, these are things that I have, and these are things that I need. And some of us just have an abundance. We may not have a lot of money, but we had connections even this week. I have some patio furniture that I'm not using, and someone saw that and said, hey, I need patio furniture. That is our abundance meeting a need. And so it's not just having lots of money and giving. It is, but it's also us thinking through the abundance that the Spirit has shown in our lives and finding ways to be generous. Now, it also is, as you are many of us business owners and entrepreneurs, it's being strategic with the wealth that you are creating so you can be even more generous. I've had conversations with Chad Bowman and Kelly Gore, two of our elders, who have talked about this, how important it is to grow wealth, not for the sake of ourselves, but counterculturally to be more generous. That is the Holy Spirit empowering that gift. And it's powerful. So let's keep going. Next, are we still with me? We good? Woo! All right. Yes. In Jesus' name. I love a good woo. Next one up is leadership. Leadership is giving direction and organization to the mission of the community. Now, when you hear leadership, you probably think, those are the people in charge, and that is not necessarily the case. This gift is so much more than that. The Greek word is kubernesis. Say kubernesis. Woo! Speaking in tongues now, which literally means in Greek to steer the ship. And in some translations, it's called, you'll see in your scripture, to call the gift of administration. Basically, it's people who take the details and the organization and the systems, and they help the community flourish through using these gifts. I'm so thankful for Brian May, who has this gift, who is using it as the person in charge of our finances and helping us be as generous as we are. There's many, many people in this church that you get so excited about organizing and systems and getting more ways to where we can go out and love and serve people. You may be led astray by thinking, I'm not a leader, but the Spirit has empowered you in a very unique way to be a leader in this church, which is powerful. I think about somebody else. She's not here today, but Amy Haig, who's usually running sound back there, one part of our sound team and leading that, she literally giggles at the thought of making a list. She is always making lists. She loves it. When we're meeting together in Citigroup, she is, without people asking, making lists of prayer requests that we put out there and sending it out to people so she can continue to pray. That is the Spirit of God operating in our church. Powerful, powerful, powerful. So one more we're going to look at here for today, and that is mercy. Mercy is acting with compassion towards the broken and hurting in the community. And again, like giving, like leadership, like all of these, all of us are called to be merciful. We're all called to be compassionate, but the Spirit can empower people towards mercy in powerful, powerful ways. I think about somebody like Mikhail in Celebrate Recovery. I think about Pampering Pathways. The whole ministry is, how can we show compassion towards the broken? How can we show compassion towards the hurting? It's almost like, I've heard it said in here too, it's like a mama bear gift. It's like, I'm going to fight for those people who are hurting right now. You know what I'm talking about? You see the poor, you see the hurting, you see the ones who are forgotten, and you say, I'm ready to fight for them. Some of y'all got that gift, don't you? Some of you are burning inside to care for those who are hurting and forgotten. That comes from God. That comes from the Spirit. It's powerful. So we've covered a lot of ground just in this little time. And we've unpacked these verses. And what I want to do real quick is to kind of zoom out. And to think about this, this is not the reality of the church in American history where we all use these gifts, is it? We talked about this last week. The reality is there's a handful of people. They have big gifts. They're the superstars. They use these gifts and everybody sits around and watches them. That's reality, but that's not the scriptures. That's not the calling of the church. It's not just for the professional Christians. And listen, guys, it's when I say that, that's not a get your act together sort of a thing. That's not that's on leaders. Let's be honest. That is on leaders to empower people for the ministry. And can I be real honest? The reason why most of them don't is because if they're doing everything, they have job security. You know, I think if the Holy Spirit moves in this church in the way that we see in the scriptures, I got to find another job. I kind of pray that happens, guys. Like that churches are planted and other people are empowered, other people are preaching, other people are leading worship, like that everyone literally gets to play. Don't you want that? I know I want it. I see the Holy Spirit, this gifting that he's given us. It's just giving us the life of Jesus. Think about it. Jesus was prophetic. Jesus was a servant. Jesus was a teacher. Jesus spoke powerful encouragement. Jesus was undyingly generous and giving. Jesus was an incredible leader. Jesus was overflowing with mercy. All of this, all of us, it's Jesus. The gifts are given to show us that we are experiencing more of Jesus together than we ever could apart. Think about it this way. If you have the Spirit of God in you and gifts that are uniquely in you, then I get to see more of Jesus through you than I would on my own. I get more of Jesus when everybody is operating in the gifts, everyone is operating, living from the Spirit, than I would if I'm just living and trying to do this on my own. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you today to step into what the Lord may be calling you to. This is just part one of three. We're going to continue on, but have a posture of listening and openness. It reminds me of what Paul prayed for the church in Ephesians, and I want to pray this for us. He prayed this right before he begins to teach about the gifting, this passage we're going to look at next week, but this is a prayer I really want to pray for us together. It says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure with all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is work where? In us, at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen." Everything this prayer teaches us as we close today is that we find the fullness of God together and not apart. We find the fullness of who we're called to be together and not apart. We learn to love together and not apart. We see more of Jesus together than we would apart. I don't know about y'all, but I want Jesus to keep getting bigger here, right? I want more of Jesus. I want to see more of Jesus in this community. 1 Corinthians 14:1, I'll close with this. It says, follow the way of love and what? Eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Not just be open to it, eagerly desire. Seek it out. Run hard after these gifts. So today I challenge you as we respond here together to be bold, to ask the Lord for these gifts. Ask Him to speak to you, to reveal to you how He's empowering you for the sake of the greater community, how He's gifting you to love your neighbor as yourself. Let me pray and then we're going to take a time of response. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you are doing in and through this community. I thank you, God, that church is not an hour that makes us feel better about the rest of our week. But in reality, church is people. Church is family. And so this family here today, God, the ones that are here, the ones that couldn't be here today, would you draw us together by love? Would you empower us by your Spirit to be the kind of people who reflect your love into this world? The kind of love we need right now in this broken, crazy world, our love's not big enough. We need something bigger. We need something from heaven. We need power from heaven. We need gifts from heaven. We need gifts from above, from the Father who gives every good and perfect gift. So Jesus, we just boldly ask, come and fill us. Come and fill us, God. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits to what you want to say and what you want to do. For those of us today who have only heard about God, who only know about God, may today be a day, maybe for the first time, instead of just knowing about Him, they know Him. Jesus, introduce yourself to somebody in their spirit today. Bring people to faith today. Help them to take that next step. So Holy Spirit, we respond to you now. Every single one of us, we respond in faith to you and what you're going to do. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name.